Amen. If you have your Bibles for a few moments, as I made the radio broadcast Tuesday, that will be that's already sent, and it's a Christmas season of broadcast. And we're talking about the first gifts of Christmas, the gifts of the Magi. Now we're talking about the mystery and the majesty of Christmas. And I want to talk about the mystery and the majesty for just a little while today. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If I preach the radio message to you today, it will be within a 30-minute context. One man said, amen. Hallelujah. If the Holy Ghost really gets to moving in me and in you, then it could take just a tad longer. But this is the radio message. And as I made the message, it's like the Lord prompted me. He said, you bring that Sunday morning. And I'm so glad when he lets me know that much ahead of time. So I'm not up on Saturday night trying to get inspired or get the message. Instead of getting inspired, little boy prayed for his daddy, who was a pastor, and he was praying for him. He saw him at his study working so hard, and he stood in the doorway so as not to disturb him, but his father heard him praying for him. And he said, oh Lord, my daddy works so hard. He studies so long and so hard. Please help him to perspire the people in the morning. Not inspire, perspire. So we pray we can inspire you today. 1 Timothy 3:16 on the mystery and the majesty of Christmas. Listen to it carefully. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I want you to say that with me. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery of God. That's the mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. Nobody knew God's plan to redeem fallen men and women. The Bible is so clear about that. It said if the princes of this world, and we're not talking about Caesar's Rome, we're not talking about world empires that have political and military force, we're talking about those powers and princes of darkness. The Bible said in Ephesians 6 concerning spiritual warfare, spiritual weapons and spiritual adversaries, it said the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal in another place, but mighty through God. And it says to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the rulers of the darkness of this world, the princes of this world, if they had known God's plan of salvation, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Those who wanted him killed would have become his chief protectors, because they would have known that through his death on the cross, his coming to the earth, taking on flesh so he could take our place, take our punishment on the cross. They would have defended him. They would have tried to see that he lived forever. Can you say amen? Because his death was their doom. His death on the cross was their doom. It sealed their doom. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And right here at Christmas, we're celebrating the day that occurred, when a baby was born of a virgin in a little city of bread called Bethlehem. God came down in human form. The second person of the Godhead, of the triune God, Jesus Christ, came down. You know, Jesus said some things about how mysterious all of this is. They said, how do you know about Moses? And you're 30-something years old, and you're talking to us like you were right there. And he said, before Moses was, I am. That means not only I pre-existed Moses, I pre-existed anything that existed before Moses. And the Bible said of Christ himself, there was nothing made without him. And everything that was made, he had a hand in it. And that's why in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let me make man in my image. No, let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. God, the Son, God, the Savior, God became flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery that Jesus could be fully God while being fully man simultaneously. It's a cardinal truth of the Christian faith, and if you do away with that, it is no longer the Christian faith. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, and if you don't believe God became incarnate. Carnate means taking on flesh. God took on flesh. What mystery, what grace, what mercy, what love that the very God of all creation would leave the splendor of heaven, come down to this fallen world to become one of us, yet without sin, to become one with us and to make us one with him, to go to the cross and lay down his life to give us life eternal. Someone said it best and biblically accurately when he said the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. I want you to say that with me. The Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. When God saves you, you were an old sinner. You have been saved by grace. But now you are the sons of God. Now you have a reconciled relationship that is more than just forgiving you and leaving you as an outsider. He's brought you into his royal family. And he's called you his daughters and his sons. And that's why when you pray, you begin by acknowledging who you are now that you're saved. Our what? Our Father, which art in heaven. Praise God. I'm so glad to be a son of the Most High God. I used to go to church, and when I still go. It's pretty bad if I don't go, right? You probably all heard the story of the man that his wife went in and she shook him and woke him up and said, honey, come on, get out of bed. It's time for church. He said, I don't want to go to church. I just don't want to go to church today. Nobody likes me down there. She said, but honey, it's time to go to church. Come on and get up. Nobody wants me. Nobody notices me. Nobody cares if I show up. So why should I go? Oh, honey, that's a bad attitude. Come on, get up. And besides all that, you're the pastor. I want to be in God's house and give him glory. My wife and I on the way in here today, amen, we were just thinking, yeah, that's pretty good. It's funny because it's true in a lot of pastors. But anyway, God is good today. Hallelujah. I got people here that I love to minister to. It makes all the difference in the world. I have been invited to other churches, but I'm trying to click my heels. It was easier about 20 years ago. Can you say, man? Somebody say there's no place like home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not in a hostile environment here today, but a receptive environment. Praise God. I do believe there's some people that actually love me. Great is the without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became fully human while being fully God. That's a mystery, man. That's a mystery. That's a mystery. God's plan of salvation was such a mystery to the devil that the devil couldn't figure it out. He just couldn't figure this man out. He couldn't figure him out. He didn't know who or what he was dealing with, because if the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Not because they would have known how good he is, wonderful he is, and gracious he is, but if they'd known, amen, his plan to save those that Satan wanted to destroy and hold in bondage. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Can you say amen? God was in Jesus Christ. God took on flesh. And thou shalt call his name before Jesus, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is who with us? God with us. God incarnate. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the mystery of godliness. Let me read it again. And without controversy, great is the mystery. Do you understand why? You can't. If you really begin to get it, it's a mystery. But it's a mystery that we see clearly. God was what? Manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified. It said, great and important and weighty, we confess is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh. Justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, was seen by angels, preached among the nations, and believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the mystery. This is the mystery. John's Gospel chapter 1, not the Epistle of John. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He said, what? Let us make man in our image. Hallelujah. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And verse 14 says, and the Word that we're speaking of, Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. We beheld what angels didn't even fully understand. Amen. We see what angels desire to look into. They're not redeemed by grace. Christ did not die for the angels. He died for fallen men and women, just like you and me. And in order to redeem us, he had to become one of us. In order to be punished for our sin, he had to be punished as a sinner, though he didn't commit any sin. And that God would send his Son. And that God would come down. And that God was in Jesus Christ when he was hanging on the cross. Not God in him like God is in us. But very God taking on flesh. Always tell people, because some people get this God complex and you know, it's kind of like the dog and the cat. How many own a dog? How many own a cat? How many got a cat and a dog? Just one. Yeah, you got a cat and a dog. We have cats come around. We feed them old bony things. They're all toe up from the flow up. Amen. They're messed up. Somebody's abandoned them, and we try to give them something to eat and keep our dog from eating them. And it's just, you know, our dog loves cats. He said, I love cats. They taste just like chicken. Anyway, we don't even go there. He's just a little dog, and I don't think he would really harm one very much. He likes to chase them. He ordered one for Christmas, hobbled and toothless and declawed. But anyway, I don't think he's going to get that. Amen? All right. The dog says, you feed me, you care for me, you love me, you protect me. You must be God to the dog. Cat says, you feed me, you care for me, you love for me, and you protect me. I must be God. Cats have attitudes if you don't realize that. And some people have it. Yes, you're a cat owner. Yeah. He can be gone for a week. He's got this automatic litter box for Princess. The cat's name is Princess. Amen. And Princess has his, and Sean's gonna ride him. Anybody bring a saddle? Put a saddle on him, because He's going to ride him, and he's going to get blisters without a saddle. Amen. Princess is a good name for a female cat. I mean, a pretty, beautiful female cat. But when he gets back from a trip where he's gone for a week, and the cat has the litter box and the automatic feeder and the water thingy and whatever she has, she's just happy living in her home, looking out the window, anticipating his return. He says, when instead of jumping up and loving on him like a dog and kissing you and jumping and loving, and you know, the cat just gives him one little lick and then takes off about her business. There's a doctrine out there that says we are in that God class. Honey, I want you to know something. I always put it this way based on John's Gospel chapter 15. I am the vine. You are the branches. And I say it this way. He's divine, and you're the branch. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're not big God, little g God. You're not a God in any sense of the word. You can't create anything, but a lot of problems with that attitude. Can you say amen? But he is the Lord. And that the God of the universe would take on flesh so he could take my place and your place on the cross and suffer and die as a sinner abandoned by God. This is the mystery of his incarnation, that he was fully God, yet fully man. And the Bible said that's why when we approach him, we can know that he's going to receive us, and he knows exactly what to do to help us. He knows you. Listen, the Bible said we don't have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, and he is identified now as a priest that takes the hand of God and the hand of man and joins us together in a relationship that no one else could mediate. There's one God and only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, what weakens you, what hurts you, what harms you, what breaks you down. Amen. He's walked in your shoes in his manhood without ever sinning. Yet he walked in your shoes, the temptations, the hurts, the crushing blows that life gives. He's been there. And the Bible said we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched in his heart with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, because he's walked in your shoes, hallelujah. I really don't want to hear a preacher preach that talks like he has no problems and no pressures. I can't relate to him. I really think he's an alien. I don't think he lives on this planet. He must have come from somewhere else. One time I thought if I could just move out west, I could move away from all my troubles. Somewhere on the range. There's a place out there. Have you heard it in the song? I don't know if it's Arizona, Wyoming. I don't know where it is. Home. Home. You got a beautiful singing voice. You got to sing a solo for us. Bring us some. Can you do the home on the range?
Where the deer and the antelope play.
That's all she knows. I'm going to have to sing. Do you know the rest of it? Golly, we ain't got no cowboys in here.
Discouraging word, and the clouds are not cloud. Skies are not cloudy all day.
Where never is heard a discouraging word. He got it. The other day he bought a 10-gallon hat. Got it half price, so it's only a 5-gallon hat when he got it home. Amen. Home on the range where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a discouraging. That's not this world. There's no place in this world. Amen. Everywhere you turn, there's a bad report coming in. There's something to break down, to distract, to disturb. Perilous times are here. Amen. But Christmas this year, my focus is on the good news. The good news. Gospel means good news. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings and publish peace. Amen. God wants to be reconciled with fallen man. He wants it so bad that he took on flesh and went to the cross and took our punishment so that could occur. That whosoever believes on him would not perish. Hallelujah. And that he could still be a just and holy God and justify those that come to him by faith in Jesus Christ. How can God be just and forgive our sin? Because he punishes our sin in his Son. Hallelujah. So that he could be just and a justifier. It's a forensic term. It's used in a courtroom. The next time the devil points his finger at you, if you've been saved and you have confessed your sin and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the next time he points his finger at you, let him know that the highest court in the universe has declared you not guilty by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. That's why when we approach him, we have our conscience sprinkled from evil. Our mind is renewed to the reality that God has come in flesh, not to lay in a manger, but to grow up to a full, mature man and take our place on the cross at 33 years old. He hung on that cross for 6 hours. Between heaven and earth, until all the wrath of God toward all the sins of fallen man was burned out in him. Burned out in him. Burned out in him. So that when I came to him and said, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, he was able to come in, and every sin that I've ever committed, it was gone. Don't let your past hold you from what God has called you to be in him. Don't let it hold you back. As far as God is concerned, the past is gone forever. 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 As it is written, saith the Lord, through what he's done through Jesus, I will cast their sins away from them. As far as the east is from the west. Why not the north from the south? Because there's a north pole and there's a south pole. But east and west, it is a perpetual circle. You never get to an end. You could go on forever and there'll never be an end. Can you say, man, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I disassociated you from those past sins. I will remember them against you no more throughout all eternity. Can you say, man, the past is gone. Aren't you glad that you can get past your past? Whether it be 20 years of living without Christ or 30 years or whether it be, amen, yesterday. If you've confessed those sins and you meant it from your heart, hallelujah, God has dealt so thoroughly with your sin hallelujah, that you are justified. And that means just as if you had never sinned at all. And now is the accuser of our brethren. Now that Christ has come. Now that he's went to the cross. Now that he's paid the price. Now that he's ascended to heaven. Now that he's sat down by the Father. Hallelujah. Now. Now. Hallelujah. Right here. And right now. You say, Brother Bimble, you pronounced that wrong. Well, that opens the door for my story that most of you know here. But I'm looking at new people. Two guys went. See, I love new people. I can tell them my stories. These people know the punchline already. You don't know it yet. I might get it on you. I don't know. Praise God. I don't know if you know it or not. Two guys went to fill out an application for a job. They're desperate for work. One looks over at the other and says, how do you spell rat? He said, R-A-T. Why? He said, because it says here, when can you start work? And I'm going to put down rat now. Can you say amen? Right now. Right now. Linda didn't even know that. You'll know all of them after a while. You just keep coming, girl. You'll know every story I got and then some. Praise God. Hallelujah. right now. Now, therefore. I love the God of the now. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, and now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit. We're moving by God's Spirit. God's Spirit is prompting us and providing the power and strength to overcome. Can you say amen? And not after the flesh. Now you are the sons of God. Hallelujah. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but now, right here and right now, we are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. And the reason we have such victory is because now, hallelujah, that Jesus has been to the cross, paid the price, and we've received Him. Now is the accuser, Revelation chapter 12. Now it's a done deal. So look at somebody and say, it's a done deal. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. But he doesn't have any grounds, because your sins have been forgiven, your sins have been forgotten. He has no evidence. And goes, throws him out of the courtroom and says, you have nothing to, you don't have forensic evidence, you don't have material witnesses. Oh, but I got a witness I can call in their behalf. Can you say, man, he's got nail scarred hands. He's got nail scarred feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. He paid the price that he can go free. Glory to God. Now is the accuser of our brethren. Now is the accuser of our brethren. Not some day coming. There's a day coming when the Bible said in that same book of Revelation, John said, I saw an angel take a chain and go up to that old serpent, the devil, wrap him in that chain, pull him over to the bottomless pit and kick him in it. For 1,000 years, he's going to have to live falling in darkness. It's a bottomless pit. Falling in darkness. My dog rides on my lap when I take the van somewhere, looking out the window, checking everything out, sitting on my lap. We got a bump. It's kind of a hump, and if you take it too fast, your stomach kind of comes up in your throat. And me and the dog both, he's not ready for it. I know it's coming. I'm a little better prepared, so I don't even slow down because I want to see the dog's reaction. We all go over that hump at about 40 miles an hour. You go up and then down like that, and the dog goes. And then he looks up at me, and I hug him close, and he knows it's all right. Daddy's got me. It's not going to be all right for the accuser of the brethren, the evil one. He's going to be chained up, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's going to be released for a short season, and then he's cast into hell with the false prophet and those who follow them forever, age without end. Your salvation is precious beyond words, beyond the gold and the silver. Whatever Satan is tempting you with, you put it up against your eternal soul and eternity, and he can't do it anymore. I guarantee you, if you get a spiritual perspective and an eternity, not where you're living now, but where you're going to spend eternity, there is no sin, there is no person on this earth. All the riches of the universe is not worth your eternal, immortal soul. And God loved you enough, amen, to make a provision that you live with him forever. Can you say amen? The Bible said this salvation is so great that we don't have to fear the wrath to come. We don't have to be afraid of the judgment that will come one day. Can you say amen? We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to sweat it. God has dealt thoroughly with your sin and mine. And if we keep our trust in Jesus Christ, there's a victory and there's a peace that this entire world doesn't know anything about. I've been in a lot of rooms where people were dying in 41 years of ministry this January. Pastoral ministry. Ministered actually before that, but in pastoral ministry, 41 years, four decades plus. And I've been in sick rooms, and I've been in ICUs, and I've been in homes where people were drawing their last breath. And what a difference between those who have Christ's peace those who don't. Without Jesus' peace, death is the scariest possible thing there is in the entire world. But with Christ's peace, death is a doorway to escape a frail body and to get into the presence of God. And in His presence, there's fullness of joy. I used to go visit Grandma Johnson. I love Grandma Johnson. I'd go visit her. She had a physical ailment, and she was way up in years, and she knew it was time for her to go home. And I would go to her home. I'll never forget it. She had a screen door with a little bitty latch on it, and she had a big old pit bull, and he wasn't sweet like chocolate is. Chocolate's sweet. He might lick you to death, but that's about it. But he's big and intimidating. He got a head like a... He got a big old head, don't he? But he's a nice guy. Well, this guy wasn't nice. He was fiercely protected of his master. And I come to the door, and she had forgot to latch it. And her big old pit come running to that screen door. If he wanted to come through that screen, I'm going to tell you right now, he could come through it. Can you say amen? And she said, "Brother Venable," she was bedfast. She said, "Brother Venable, don't come through the door. Don't come through the door." And I thought, you do not have to tell me that. I had my foot up against the door like that. And she called him back. She called him back. And I had my foot up against the door and prayed, and he wouldn't come through the screen. That was back when I was young. You know, 40 years old, I could run. Yeah, absolutely. Not far, but I could run fast for a little while. She called him over and leashed him to the other side of the bed. And he went over there and let her leash him up, and then I came in. And I remember what she used to say. Her whole heart was set on heaven. Grandma Johnson, heaven was more real to her than earth. Heaven became more real than earth. And she always prefaced something that she wanted to really make a statement, say, "Yes." And she said, "Yes." I said, "How are you, Sister Johnson?" She said, "Yes, Brother Venable." She said, "I'm doing good, thank you." She said, "It won't be long before Jesus is going to come, walk right up beside my bed, take me by the hand and say, 'Come on, let's go home.' And we're going home." Yes, hallelujah, praise God. That was an amen to her, yes, praise God. It was so real to her, so real. She said, "Brother Venable," she said, "didn't you have a daughter before you became a Christian and she was premature?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Tell me her name." I said, "Her name is Lisa. Lisa Venable." She said, "Lisa Venable. Lisa. Oh, I want to remember that name." Yes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find Lisa. And I'm going to tell her about her daddy and that he's a preacher. She was heaven. Everything was about heaven. Nothing was about doctor's appointments, prescriptions, or anything. Everything is about Jesus is coming to take me away, and I can't wait to go. Can you say, man, hallelujah? That's something you can't buy. Your Rolex means nothing in the ICU. Your BMW doesn't mean anything, and you in the ICU. One heartbeat away from eternity, no matter how much you own. The day that heart stops, you leave your body. You can't stay in it. You got to vacate it. And when you vacate it, you head somewhere. Oh, but I've read those books. Just go to the light. Go to the light. Let me tell you something about the light that people saw, but they never met Christ. They never met the Christ of the Bible. Let me tell you something about bestseller on the New York bestsellers list. No marvel if Satan himself appear as an angel of light. And his ministers, his preachers, he preaches a false gospel that can damn your soul. And his preachers as ministers of what? Righteousness. I don't know about you, but where my soul spends eternity, I want to know what the Bible says about it. I don't want to know what the History Channel has to say, because they're messed up when it comes to the Bible, because they don't understand this mystery. But we understand this mystery. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The one line, this one line is the entire Christmas story. The entire message of the birth of Jesus Christ. The Word, God's fullness, the second person of the Trinity, sent by God. This is the message of Christmas. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's crucial to our faith in this day of false teachings and false Christ to hold fast to the fact that Christ was God manifest in flesh. What a mystery, a virgin conceiving, a child of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural conception, God incarnate in flesh, Son of Man and Son of God and God the Son simultaneously. Listen to 1 John chapter 4. Now this is in context as we close. Almost a 30-minute message. We're closing after 30 minutes. Consider yourself rare. And if John hollers amen back there, we'll just keep right on going. You know what he just did? He went, threw away the key. No, I'm just kidding. John loves me and loves the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Are you seeing what was hidden before the foundation of the world? But we see it. We see it. We see it. We understand it. We grasp it. We rejoice in it. We exult in it. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in 1 John, the epistle, taken out of context. And here it is, out of context. And it's all right to use it because there is definitely greater power in you as far as brute strength, supernatural ability, than there is on the devil's side. So in that sense, Brother Taylor, he that is in you and me is greater than he that's in the world. But there are a lot of people with that power being defeated by the enemy because they're being deceived by the enemy. The armor of God is not against his power in terms of strength, spiritual strength, but his wiles in Ephesians 6. Every time I see that word wiles, since I'm of the cartoon generation of days gone by, there's the Roadrunner and who? Wile E. Coyote. Why is he called Wiley? It's the same word that's used in biblical sense. Wiles in the in the New Testament in the Greek means strategy of deceit. He tricks people. Go ahead and eat the fruit in the garden. You will not surely die. Go ahead. The wiles of the devil. So when it says he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world, it said hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of Christ as opposed to the spirit of the Antichrist. So this Christmas message is crucial to our faith and to overcome our enemy. Because there are not a lot of gods and a lot of ways to heaven. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. And every spirit that does not confess that Christ has come in the flesh is antichrist. Amen. There are world religions right now that say Jesus was a good man, but he certainly wasn't God. Jesus went to the cross, but he didn't die. He only swooned on the cross. Jesus was not resurrected from the dead. He was not God incarnate. And it doesn't matter what label you put on those religions. They do not believe in the Christ of the Bible. Amen. And since they don't believe in the Christ of the Bible, they are anti-Christ. Not anti-religion. Satan is the head of every world religion. Because he would rather you choose something that won't lead you to heaven than to live in that vacuum. You know, in China, Marxist, communist China, there is a Holy Ghost revival going on right now. 20,000 people a day in a persecuted environment, a persecuted church are coming to Jesus in Red China. Marxism, communism, from day one is taught. Atheism is the core belief of communism. And yet there's a mighty revival in China. Why? Because it created a spiritual vacuum. And when people heard there is a God and He loves you and gave His Son for you, they sell out to Him. They follow Him, even if they go to jail or get persecuted or tortured for it. Can you say, man, mighty revival in China. There's a revival in Russia. A move of God in Soviet Russia. You can give out Bibles in Red Square, but you can't give them out on the campus of the University of South Florida. Isn't that incredible? God is moving by His Spirit all over the world. And where there's the greatest moves of God is where there's been that spiritual vacuum. God rushes in to fill that hole in the heart that no ideology or philosophy of man can, and no material blessing can ever fill. God comes in. And when He comes in, people stand up for Jesus all over the world. So He that's in you is greater in the sense of the fact that because of the Holy Spirit and because you're able to use more than your feelings and your mind, because you're able to use actual doctrine to check out angels. If an angel come, a celestial being come to you, Paul said, and bring another gospel. How do you know if it's another? You got to know this one so well. And you got to know the crucial cardinal truths of it. That immediately a flag goes up. And you're to tell the angel, anathema. You leave me and take your curse. Oh, by the way, and if in the name of love you bid Godspeed to that that's going to damn men's souls, you partake of their sin. You can't embrace wrong. You can, but then you're guilty of the sin that that wrong is creating. That's why I can't hug you, fellowship you, and love you if you're following false doctrine. I can teach you and tell you the truth and pray that you'll decide to follow Christ, but I can't hug you and tell you you'll get to heaven anyway. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? According to the Scripture. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then you have no basis to believe anything. Well, Brother Venable, I've had people tell me all kinds of things. Old wives' tales. I believe the Spirit hovers over the body. Well, you can believe it does. You can believe that you can believe anything you want to believe. You can believe in ghosts and you can believe in haints. And my great-grandmother told me haint tales. The place is haunted. There's haints living in it. The headless horseman, the horseman's headman. Amen. All the crazy stuff out there. I believe you don't have to believe in gravity. I always get comeback in services. Even in small groups, it's amazing. You read the Bible and people say, I don't like the way that sounds. That's too dogmatic. Well, I didn't come here to be dogmatic. I came here to be bull dogmatic. Can you say, man? If the Bible isn't true, we need to throw it out the window. We need to go out here and find something we can get a hold of and stake our soul on. But if it is true, we need to quit. We need to start believing it and bowing to it instead of pushing back against the truth. Can you say, man? See, everybody in here is going to end up in a deathbed someday. And you don't have to be old as me or older to get there. Can you say amen? And you either got it or you don't have it. And your ideas mean nothing, but if you have Christ, it means everything. Can you say amen? I remember when I went to the nursing home and there was Grandma Johnson and her daughter and her granddaughter called me and said she's like unconscious, but she can still hear. We believe she can still hear us. Brother Vimble, can you come? And I went straight to the nursing home and I grabbed her by the hand and I said, Grandma Johnson, can you hear me? Squeeze once for yes. She gave me a good grip. I said, to let me know that you understand what I just said to you, squeeze twice for no. She gave me two good grips. I said, Grandma Johnson, how do you want me to pray? Do you want to stay here longer, or is the Lord come to take you home? I said, do you want me to pray for you to stay? She went, no. I said, are you ready to go to be with the Lord? She went, I mean, that was a firm one. I thought she was going to get out of bed and tell me I'm ready to go. She gave me that firm squeeze, and I looked at her loved ones, and I said, she believes it's time for her to go home. When I got out of the car, the Lord had already told me, but I want it verified to them for their sake. The Lord told me, said, don't pray for her to stay. This is her coronation day. That's what D.L. Moody said when he went home. They were praying, oh Lord, we need him, we need him, we need him. Don't let him go. Don't let him die. Oh, D.L. Moody his eyes came open. He looked around the room and he said, quit praying for me to stay here. This is my coronation day. This is when I get the crown. Hallelujah. The crown of life. The crown of righteousness. The crown of glory. Hallelujah. That peace is like nothing in all of this world. But if you have Christ as your Savior, that peace is yours. And it'll come when you need it. How do I know I'll have it? I guarantee you'll have it. Twice I was knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Two times in my life I was at heaven's door. And I'm going to tell you right here from experience. Amen. One time I couldn't breathe. I'd come back from Haiti. I had an attack in my body. I was so close to going home. I was in the floor of my bathroom all curled up and couldn't breathe. Getting that pins and needle feeling. Then I felt something I'd never felt before. I'd felt faint before. I got knocked out playing football. I know what it is to see stars and go black, fade to black. This was different. I felt the separation between my body and my spirit. I felt my spirit as I couldn't hardly get a breath. And I felt that I knew I was going to pass out, but I knew something else was occurring. My spirit was beginning to rise up within my body, and I could distinguish my spirit, which is eternal, from my body, which is mortal. It was an uncomfortable feeling in my body, but peace in my heart. And I was just about, and I thought it was God speaking to me. I had to learn through voices. I had to distinguish the voices. Because I heard in my spirit, man, I heard a voice say, you're not afraid of dying. And I thought, I certainly am not. I'm afraid of living like this. That's what bothers me. Get out of this body, it'd be a happy day for me. So the voice that I was hearing said, go ahead then. You're not afraid of dying. Say what Jesus said on the cross. Into thine hands commend I my spirit. Because I could feel my spirit pulling away. And I thought, as soon as my spirit leaves, all this suffocating feeling, that's gone. And it's gone forever. Hallelujah. I wanted out. But it wasn't time for me to go. And that's why I'm preaching right here. And that's why you're here. I'm here by divine appointment. Another voice stronger than that voice. Louder. Clearer. Praise God. And with such love and power spoke to me. And said, don't say that. It's not time for you to go. I told my wife, don't even call 911. I knew it, nothing but the hand of God can raise me up. If they come after me, there's no point in it. I'll be gone before they get here. But if God says I'm to stay, amen, I'm going to stay in spite of everything the devil and everything else wants to happen. And I remember the peace that came over me. And my wife looked in the door and I was laying in the floor. I laid there for hours, right in the bathroom, curled up. My breathing came back. My strength began to come back. Praise God. I understood the wiles of the devil and the word, how he'll even use the word of God to try to trick you. I was about to quote the word, but not in the will of God and in the way of God. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, don't say that. It's not time for you to die. That's okay too, but you're going to have to do something about what I'm experiencing here. And he did, hallelujah. And it began to lighten up. And I began to do something that most of you take for granted every day. Take that breath and fill those lungs with oxygen. And it felt so good to feel bad when you can breathe. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I thought, God's got it. God's got it from here. God's got it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God's got it. God's in control. Brother Taylor, that's why I'm standing here today. And I don't believe in accidents and happenstance. I believe you're here to hear this message because I know I'm here to bring it. Can you say amen? God was, look how important this is as we close, and I went way over 30 minutes. But God is speaking to someone in this room, and I want you to hear him this Christmas. I want you to understand how important this holy day is when so many are too busy even for church. Beloved, 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit. Did you get that in my testimony? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh. God incarnate. God in flesh. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. They have the revelation. They have the realization. They understand the mystery. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It may be a world religion, but they do not believe that Jesus was God. Amen. May have hundreds of thousands of followers. Doesn't change this. People following a lie don't make it true. How many people listen? And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Why is the devil Antichrist? Because there's no other name given under heaven unto men to be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. God said you can't go to heaven through your choice of religions. Said any man that tries to climb up. Did you notice every world religion? Everybody's trying to find a way up to God. Christianity is distinguished because God came down seeking you and seeking me. And every man that tries to climb up some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. What are you stealing? The glory and the honor and the position and the sacrifice and the place of Jesus Christ. It's His blood that was shed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Satan says, pick the world religion you want. The message out in the world is all the roads lead to the same God. It's not what the scriptures say. Where have you heard that it should come even now already is in the world. And never, I might add, like it is today. You're of God, little children. And you have overcome them. Because greater is He. This is not about strength, is it? This is about knowledge and understanding of the mystery. If you don't have the understanding of the mystery, I'll tell you flat out, you're not of God.
If you have a problem with Christ manifest in the flesh, that's the spirit of Antichrist. You need to reject it and receive the truth.
If the Bible is true, you need to believe it. If it's not, you don't play with it. It's not a book that you can treat with that kind of attitude because it's God's Word and it's eternal. And you're going to be judged by it, not by me or some organization, but by the word of the Lord. Listen to me carefully. You didn't know this was in the Christmas message, did you? Because Christians have become lax. Christians have gone along with anything and everything in the name of love and unity. Embracing the spirit of Antichrist for the sake of unity will never be accepted in the kingdom of God. Embracing world religions that do not confess Christ is Antichrist. You say, Brother Venable, you're not tolerant. I understand the new postmodern world is preaching tolerance. I don't tolerate pedophiles either. You want some grown man messing with your kid, raping your kid? In the name of love and tolerance, would you embrace that? Just how far is tolerance going to go? Just how far are you willing to go to say, oh, it's different strokes for different folks. That's just fine. Go ahead and abuse little children. See, the people preaching the tolerance are hypocritical because they will jump on that. I'm not tolerant with a false religion that'll damn a soul. I'm responsible. Let me tell you how God's going to hold me responsible as we close. The Apostle Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you, you came to hear a little Christmas sermonette. You came today to hear something to evoke an emotional feeling of love and peace. But there's a truth about Christmas that the church is missing too many Christmases. There are too many people that are not even going to be in God's house this close to Christmas, that are too busy for God at the one of the whole. When this mystery became manifest, can you say, man, they don't understand the importance of doctrine anymore? They are set up for false doctrine. Amen. They're claiming the greater power is in them, but that power is the spirit of truth. It's not the dunamis, it's the truth. Can you say, man, that we need to hear today? It's not the power and the unction to speak in tongues, it's the ability to speak the truth in English and the commitment to follow up. You say, Brother Venable, I'm going to find a church that just is tolerant of everything. They're out there and they're waiting for you. You better find out what they believe. Not just what they're saying, what they believe. What they believe. Because it's crucial what you believe. It's going to determine whether you spend eternity. Say, Brother Ben, but you don't judge me. No, I don't. But God's Word does. So Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel. This is the parts that you don't hear this season. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, if you miss heaven, it won't be on me for not telling you the truth. You may never come back here to church. You may not believe the truth. You may miss heaven. But you will never be able to say that no one told you what the Bible says and how crucial it is to your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel such God's good favor. There's not a frown in this room that could turn me around. Glory to God. You're of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Don't get your doctrine from Ophrah. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that knows God's going to listen to the truth. Make no mistake about it. They ain't going to push back. And he that's not of God, you're not going to pay any attention to this preacher, this book. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to dig down in the Word of God because the deeper I dig, the taller I stand for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's a day coming. You'll be glad you stood up for the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh means that the Messiah is very God and very man. Many people believe that a good man was born in the Middle East. A great teacher, a prophet, a priest. But a virgin birth, an immaculate conception, God manifest in the flesh, God with us. No way. They just won't believe that. These folks do not know the Christ of the Bible. But he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is greater than he, the devil, the spirit of lies that is in the world. We understand the mystery of Christmas because that we believe that Jesus is God with us. Can you say amen? And it makes all the difference in the world. Glory be to God. Last scripture. Now unto him, Romans 16, verse 25 through 26. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What is the revelation of the mystery? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Do you understand that now? Which was kept secret since when? Since the world began. But now, here's that now stuff. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. See, you don't have to come to Christ. You don't have to believe the truth. But it's my job and the job of every God-called minister to make the mystery known among the nations of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And oh, how I love to hear God's truth proclaimed from the Word of God. Because I know the Holy Spirit gets extremely active when that is happening. I know hell rises up, but I know God stands up. Praise God to stand with those who proclaim the truth of the gospel to the nations of the world. Now I just pray today that this Christmas that we will understand the importance of something the church seems to be ignoring by and large, and that's doctrine. Not the doctrines of men. Not the traditions of men. But the traditions that were handed to us and the truth that was given to us. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will what? It'll abide forever. And forever. It's as eternal as God Himself is. Praise God. Sister Johnson, I appreciated her so very much. She knew I was there. She knew Jesus was there. She just took a breath. And with that last breath, her spirit went with it. Just went with it. It's as light as air, and yet it's a tangible and eternal part of you. And peace came. I didn't see a light, but I felt the presence of angels in that room. When Lazarus died, who took him to Abraham's bosom? Angels. 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 And suddenly the Holy Spirit came on me, her granddaughter, and her daughter. We began to praise God in other tongues. And when we began to talk in a funny language, a nurse came and looked in the room. And we all looked at her with a smile and said, she went home. She didn't die. She didn't cease to exist. She didn't perish. She just went home. Hallelujah. And that's the Christmas reality. And if you're not ready to die today because you don't have that peace in your heart, it's offered to you this Christmas as the greatest gift you could ever receive. The gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of righteousness, the gift of life eternal. Can you say amen? Anyone in this room with every head bowed just for a moment. Anyone in this room, Pastor, I don't have the peace to die right now. I don't know where I would go. I don't even know what's truth and what isn't at this point. But I want to know the truth. And I want to know I'm right with God. And I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Anyone in this room, anyone in the listening audience where this gospel is going, now is the time. This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is a Christmas message. This is a crucial message to the church and to the world. He's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. To they that look, he shall appear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people in this room, you are a Christian, but you want to dig deeper in God's Word? You want to get down in it. You want to get into God's truth, and you want to get it down inside of you. Praise God. You want to be taught more about what the Scriptures have to say, particularly these crucial truths. All of this that I'm telling you is a body of truth along with other truth that makes up the gospel, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the Bible said in the book of Jude, earnestly contend for that faith that was once delivered, because there is no other. There is no other. No other. So I'm going to keep fighting. As long as I'm going to be like Uncle Bud Robinson, you can look up now. He said, help me to hit the devil as long as I got a fist. Help me to bite him as long as I got a... Help me to kick him as long as I got a foot. Help me to bite him as long as I got a tooth. And help me to gum him till I die. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want that attitude in ministry. And if it fills this place up and we have to build a building over here, that'll be wonderful. But if it don't, I'm going to do it anyhow. Hallelujah. Because I care where you spend eternity. And I want to be with you in heaven. I want to see your face when we get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to see mine. Praise God. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? Glory to God. What a gracious and good God that we serve today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm hoping and praying that in the coming year there'll be such hunger for the Word of God that we can gather around the Word again and study the Scriptures, understand how to overcome the wiles of the devil, begin to get into a victory that's going to touch your life and your families and mine. Praise God. And become a witness and a testimony to the world about us. Hallelujah. That we're not just telling them about the Lord. We're showing them what knowing Him, the difference it makes in knowing Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want to just this year to be a year of revelation and realization of the things of God? No distraction, no deception. Praise God. I have prayed a prayer. And I'm wanting to act on it and believe Him for it. No point in praying if we don't believe. I want the empty seats. I want the empty seats in this building filled with people who want to be here, who God has sent here, who want to learn and to grow. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't want people just show up, and I want God to send people so we can stay on the path. We can't teach the Bible when it's hit and miss. Can you say, that's not how to have a Bible study, Brother Taylor. You can't come one week and wait 2 weeks and show back up and us be on the same page. We've already turned that page. And we need to turn it as a church. We need to turn it together. So you need to search your heart. I've searched mine. I'm willing to make a fresh commitment to preach and teach the Word. Are you willing to make a commitment to be in church, to hear it? You got to ask yourself that question. If you're undecided, then that's part of the problem. Amen? I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be part of the problem. I've decided if people come hungry, I'm apt to teach. Praise God. If people come with hungry hearts, but I don't preach to chairs and the empty building and the curtains. So if you've got priorities that take you away, and I'm not talking about jobs and things like that. I'm just talking about you could be here, but you just got other things cooking. You need to put Jesus on the front burner. Hallelujah. 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 How many got something out of this teaching today? Wave at me if you got something personally out of it. How many believe it needs to be taught in every church all over the world? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. He's coming soon. And I intend to live in victory till He gets here. Because I want the world to know that He is the true and the living God. Let's lift Him up. You can leave if you need to. We went 30 minutes over 30 minutes. I can't preach radio sermons in church, so I won't try no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll do that on the radio. Praise God.